Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donnie, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Right now, it's just Darren. That's me. Darren McFarland here. Willie Donick has had to step away for the day, so he will not be here the final hour. Chase will be back on the show tomorrow. I guess extended vacation. Last week wasn't good enough. Took another day. I guess he'll be back tomorrow. Not sure. He claims he will be. By the way, don't miss a second of the action as the Predators return this Sunday. I've been telling you that. Game one against the Arizona Coyotes. You can watch the viewing party destinations, including Burger Republic and Party Foul. That's where they're going to have watch parties for the Preds and the Coyotes. Stop by Burger Republic in Lenox Village or in Mount Juliet and enjoy a Fours Burger for a limited time and $4 Happen Harry pints. So there you go. Good stuff. By the way, Burger Republic, very good. Not sure about the Fours Burger. I'm not sure I've had that, but see what they did there. Good stuff. Jeremy Kagover, friend of the show, been working with for a long time the Predators broadcast. He's been writing great stuff on our website for many, many years, and it was the sad reality over the weekend to see your tweet and your Facebook post of the picture. While it was cool, it was just the sad reminder that that was it for you in covering the Predators in the arena on Saturday before they would board the plane yesterday and head to Edmonton. But a nice parting gift from the media relations department to you, a bobblehead of you, Jeremy.
It was a tremendous gesture, Darren, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for my 10 years being able to cover this team. Not done quite yet. I've got a few things coming up on thegamenashville.com here starting tomorrow and then throughout the week. And, of course, I'll have all the coverage and stuff on thegamenashville.com throughout, hopefully until September or through September. But, you know, yeah, it was my last in-person Preds event.
Right.
Obviously, because there's no regular season to finish. There's no playoffs to go to, unfortunately. And the plan, for those of you who may follow me on Twitter, you know that the plan was for me to go to Edmonton. I was going to go to Edmonton because it was my last go-round. I didn't want the COVID pandemic to ruin my swan song, if you will. And so I was like, all right, I'm gonna front the money, and I'm going to go to Edmonton, and I'm going to find an Airbnb, and I'm going to go to these games and sit in the stands that are going to be empty if I can get credentialed and all that. And I was assured about, I don't know, say 2 weeks ago or so, by a couple of different sources that local media, if they were in town, would be allowed in the arena. But then reality hit that there may be some border issues. Like, is Canada going to let an American reporter into the country, and if they're not on the list? And then there's the then word came out that the NHL, if the owner of a team was not on the list of bubble personnel for each team, they may not be allowed in the arena to watch any of the games. And that was the last nail in the coffin, if you will. That was when I decided, okay, I'm not going to waste all this money that my family, quite frankly, doesn't have. That's why one of the reasons I'm stepping out of media to begin with. It's a lot of it is up front, out of your own pocket. And so I just decided there's no way I'm going to battle this possible border issue and then get up there and not be able to do anything. Right? I want to be able to bring people the coverage that they can't get. And I thought a really unique look, even though there wouldn't be any in-person player interviews or anything like that, I thought it would be a really unique vantage point to be able to report on what it's like inside these empty arenas for these games. But with all of the trouble issues and all that stuff kind of floating around as question marks, I was not willing to pony up $2,000 or $3,000 to make it happen. So unfortunately, my last in-person Preds event was Saturday, and the Preds Media Relations Department was nice enough to custom make a bobblehead for me. Very highly detailed. My Basset Hound pin that I've worn for the past 2 years was on there. My recorder, the model of my recorder was correct. Apparently, when I interview players in the locker room, I have my hand in my pocket, so that was on there. It was just really, really great, so I cannot thank them enough.
Yeah, so you were pleased with the bobblehead?
Very, very, very. It's funny, of the 90 I own, that is easily my favorite.
Yeah, your wife did post some pictures like, oh, great, yeah, just a bobblehead. Wow, that's something new in the Grover household. A bobblehead. Oh, wait a minute. Let's look at the whole wall of bobbleheads. You can't choose that.
That's
one.
Right.
Your favorite bobblehead is what?
Without that one?
Yeah, we're excluding that one because that one, yeah. Give me your favorite.
That's a great question. I have...
And a loaded one. I'm asking you to pick a favorite of probably many.
I know. I'm going to have to say my George Washington one. It's built... Oh, no, I take that back. My John Wayne one. I have a John... It's tall. It's like one of those really tall, well-made ones. It's like probably, I don't know, 8 inches tall. He's got a huge wide-brim cowboy hat on, and he's carrying a gun over his shoulder. I would say that one. I'd say John Wayne.
All right. That's not where I thought you would go. Very, very interesting. Let's talk about this series that's going to get cranked up. In fact, that's
yes.
The Sunday action will start with the Predators and the Coyotes game one. One, just let me – we had Scott Burnside on last hour talking about the weird situation in Arizona with their young GM out, quit, resigned, fired, whatever happened. I mean, nobody's really said he's fired, but look, it clearly there was – you know, he was doing stuff they didn't agree with, and they wanted him out, and clearly he was looking to get out. So Steve Sullivan, former Predator, is the interim GM. Do you think that affects them at all? Does that have any bearing whatsoever on this series, in your opinion?
We talked about this, actually, at Saturday's camp session, just real briefly, that I don't think it does. Because, first of all, you don't have time for any of that distraction if you're a team, because you have a best of five series to win, and if you don't win, your season is done. All of this preparation and mental taxation and being away from your family and making that tough decision, all that all goes away in the blink of an eye if you don't win this best of five series. So I don't think you have any time for that. But I think even more so is that we have to remember that, one, this is not a GM, not a coach. That's number one. But number two, it's – how do I say this? The media is not going to be in the locker room at morning skate and at games and on days off and at practices asking every player in the room the same question, which is about the GM situation or about, you know, Steve Sullivan or whatever the case is. Because media is resorted, unfortunately, as I mentioned in my last answer by Edmonton, resorted to Zoom calls. And there's only three or four players per day, maybe even less depending on the games or the situation, that are going to be subjected to those Zoom calls. And so there's not going to be this bombardment of distraction put into the room by the media, which is where a lot of the distraction comes from. That's number one. And number two is, you know, I just think that this team, meaning the Coyotes, they have so much going for them already. I mean, with the Taylor Hall situation, like, if anything, that's the distraction. I understand that the GM position is obviously – you know, it's a part of that because he's got to sign the next player or whatever. But I just think the Taylor Hall, what he's going to do past this next 2 weeks or whatever the case is. Phil Kessel struggled this year, and that was a big-time acquisition for the Coyotes. You know, can he rebound? Can he use the break, the pause, you know, like we hope Pecorine can and other Brian Johansson can, and really be like, okay, that part's behind me. I've had 4 months off. Let's, you know, these games matter. Let's go, right? And then Phil Kessel returns to his 30, 40-goal self. So there's a lot more questions in that Coyotes locker room, I think, than this GM issue. Like, yes, it's unorthodox. You don't ever hear an NHL source come out and be like, he's a liar and a quitter. Like, that's pretty abrasive, you know? I mean, I don't think since the Dallas Stars situation with their leadership and Sagan and Ben, I don't think we've heard that. And so, you know, but again, I think it's the lack of media presence in the locker room, the lack of media presence in the bubble, which is zero, by the way, that will help not make it a distraction for the Coyotes.
NHL has moved into phase four now that these teams have arrived to their hub cities, and the NHL reported today that phase three, as they tested over 800 players, that they came away with zero positive tests. So very, very good sign, as Major League Baseball is making the headlines today for all the wrong reasons with positive tests, that the NHL is going into their phase four and their exhibition games this week, where each team is going to get one exhibition game, and then everything gets cranked up on Saturday, going in with zero positive tests. So going into the controlled environment. So you have to feel good right now where the league is.
Okay, so I do feel good about where the league is, and I definitely feel great about where the league is compared to Major League Baseball. Now, that being said, let me preface this by saying I'm not a doctor, and I'm also not up on all of the things that have to do with COVID because, one, they're fluid, and two, because it's just too much to keep up with. And I've got a ton going on here at home and in my jobs and all that stuff. My wife's a teacher. I mean, she just got word, I think, a week ago that she, you know, we'll have a school year start on time. It just won't be the same. You know, cause we were worried about that. Like, well, is she going to have a paycheck if the school district decides they're not going to have school in August? I mean, all this stuff, right? So I preface it by saying I'm not a doctor and I'm not up on all this stuff. But I will say that my immediate reaction to that is let's wait until they get in the bubble. And then 2 weeks from now, which is my understanding, again, as a non-doctor, that is what COVID is carried for that long. So let's get 2 weeks in, and then we'll see where they're at. Because there can be no positive tests right now all they want. And that's great. I mean, it's tremendous. Better than 500 positive tests. But also, I understand that people can carry without showing symptoms or asymptomatic or whatever the term is. And so, therefore, let's just get in the bubble where they're isolated and ready to go. And then 2 weeks from now, I will make a judgment call on that. About the exhibition game, though, Darren, I do want to say this. This also came up at Saturday's camp. Is that they're playing the Dallas Stars on Thursday, and we saw an incident with Corey Perry at the Winter Classic, and I'm certainly not predicting that again. I'm just saying that I do wonder what's going to happen in the exhibition game because, you know, yes, both teams are going to try to get out of it healthy and all that, but and it's their one time to get their legs under them against the opponent to stop themselves before there's, you know, live ammo, if you will. But I do wonder about – I do have trepidations about that game. I do wonder what that matchup is going to bring on that one night.
Well, I suspect, and I can actually broaden this out even more and expand on it a little bit. I wonder, at least early on in these games over the weekend and these qualifying rounds, I do wonder if – while everybody is, let's just say there's no positive test and everybody's, you know, in their controlled environment, everybody feels good, safe and sound where they are, I do wonder, they're still human beings and they have a brain and they have, you know, a mind and they can think of things and it may be in the back of their mind and they've pushed it to the back of their mind, but I do wonder if it will look a little different or once the puck is dropped, it's just, you know, instincts take over and they become professional hockey players and all that other stuff doesn't matter anymore. Like, I do wonder if there is going to be, and I know playoffs, you know, obviously fights really don't happen much. You know, there's a lot of pushing and shoving. Obviously it gets nastier, big. Is that change a little bit? It gets, you know, a lot of these series get, you know, can get nasty in the playoffs. You're playing, you know, one opponent, you're seeing each other every other day, or in this case, you may see them back-to-back days. Does it get nasty, like a lot of times, or do they back off? Is there a little hesitation because they're humans, or is just instincts take over? I will be curious to see how that plays out starting this weekend.
Yeah, me too. I'm a big fan of the intensity, obviously. I think we all are, of playoff hockey, for sure. But you know, I do think that that's the one kind of saving grace, I think, for Predators fans when they think of Corey Perry in a game that doesn't mean anything right before, oh, I don't know, the biggest time of the season. You know, I think it's the one saving grace is that both teams are going to try to get out of that healthy so they can set themselves up for success going forward. And so, but I do wonder, and I'm very curious exactly what you said, to see where the physicality is. And the laziness, for that matter. I mean, there may be an element of, you know, just human nature. You got two or three guys per team or whatever that, you know, think, oh, this is an exhibition game. Let's just get through healthy, whatever. They play with some reservations, if you will. Maybe it's not even their fault, but they just do. And then, you know, how will that come into play? Will there be lazy penalties? Will there be something that's reckless? You know, all those things. And I do wonder who's going to be ready from the get-go. From the camp sessions that I've seen, Rocco Grimaldi, Mikael Granlund, and, of course, Roman Josi, look like they are men on a mission from the camp sessions that I've seen. So those three guys, has nothing to do with physicality, of course, necessarily, but they have their legs moving. They're in mid-season form, ready to ramp up and ready to go. In my opinion, it's the other guys, the other 23 or whatever the number is, that, you know, I'm very curious to see how that first exhibition game goes. And then are they going to be ready to go in game one? Then, or is it going to take until game two? Will it take a shift? Will it take a half a period? Will it take a full period? Like, what's it going to take to get everybody back to where everyone's dialed in, their feet are under them, they're going like it's mid-season form or mid-playoff form for that matter, and they're all just dialed in, ready to go.
Speaking with Jeremy K. Gover, you can find his work at thegamenashville.com and, of course, part of our Predators broadcast on the radio side of things in his final year. And we've certainly appreciated everything he's done. It's been great working with Jeremy. It's not over yet, but I just wanted to pass that along because I know this is a little bit special. I hope you get to work longer covering this than, you know, than shorter, obviously, looking for a long, long run as they get cranked up. So let's talk about this team and what we did see. We were there last week in the arena doing a show. We were there the week prior to that. So we spent some time in there watching these inter-squad scrimmages, just watching training camp and seeing some of the combinations. So let's start with some things that stood out. The second line looked very good. Very good. Matt Duchene centering that second line. Granlund, who went in hot already. He was playing well under new head coach John Hines. And Kyle Turris getting moved up there and slid over to the wing. Got to be honest, there were several days that line really, really stood out in some of those scrimmages.
I could not agree more. I think the Duchene, Granlund, Turris line is something to watch going forward. Because if the opponents, in this case Dallas exhibition, and then Arizona in the first play-in round, if you will, that if those teams try to take away the Johansson, Arvidsson, Forsberg line, which we all know can be dangerous, not all of them were at their best during the regular season, admittedly, but we all know they have chemistry together, they have a history of that, they all put up great numbers typically, and so if they decide to shut down that first line and you put Duchene, Granlund, and Turris out there, and then they go, and they can find some sort of gel, which they look like they were forming really well, like you mentioned, Darren. If they can find that next gear, then the opponent will be in trouble. And then if the Grimaldi-Smith-Bonino line returns to their form of the regular season, then the opponents are going to be in big, big trouble because then you have a wave of attack coming. And we've seen what Colton Sissons and, you know, guys like that. Yes, they're fourth-line guys at this point. But we've seen Colton Sissons have the biggest game of his life in the playoffs, right, back in during the Stanley Cup run. So you have guys that can contribute on other lines. So, but again, I think it all rests on whether Johansson is the X factor, like you're going to read about on thegamenashville.com tomorrow, and whether the Turris, Granlund, Duchene line can show as impressive as they are in camp. I think if those two things happen, it's going to – the sky's the limit for this team, in my opinion.
You know, with Kelly Yarncroke's experience and what you just mentioned, Colton Sissons' experience, they're going to be on that fourth line. Right now, it looks like it's going to be also the other guy with lots of experience in Austin Watson. But you've got some young guys that they really like and young guys that really have stood out and young guys that you can feel comfortable with. But I don't think at least – to start, and that's where I'm going with this, that they will start. Obviously, things happen, whether it's injury or a positive test. I mean, things can happen in the course of this, but you feel comfortable that it is going to be Austin Watson and guys like Yakov Trenin and Colin Blackwell, who they like. They're probably first-up subs, will probably just be, as I said, first-up subs and not in the lineup to start.
I actually think it could go both ways. Maybe the first game, I think you put out your experienced lineup and then kind of play it by ear after that. But with meaning Austin Watson would be the guy on the fourth line there in game one. But I will point your attention to the fact that Arizona is not an overly goony team. I mean, their highest penalty minute guy is Jacob Chikrin in the defense. It's only got 38 penalty minutes. I mean, that's not a whole lot. That's 63 games. He didn't have an abbreviated season or anything. And that's their leader, right? That's their leading penalty minute guy. So they don't have a whole lot of thugginess in them, if you will. And so for that, but if they were playing Dallas, for example, I could see you want a big, heavy Austin Watson guy in there. But I would not put it past them at all that, okay, you know, Arizona's more skilled. and they're going to attack him with skill. And so you put Trennan and Blackwell, two guys, by the way, who really looked like they belonged for the most part when they were in the lineup in the regular season. Yes,
they
had
productive.
Their pickups for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were productive, and they looked like they fit. And so it wouldn't surprise me at all if one of those two guys, probably Blackwell, checks into the lineup during the Arizona series, and then, again, maybe not in game one, like I said, there's no room for error, at a best of five, but certainly after game one, if Blackwell checks in the rest of the series, and then when they see the next opponent, if it's a heavier opponent or a team that likes to play physical, then maybe you go back to Austin Watson.
So with that being said, and I agree with you on the Coyotes, you don't look for it to be a muck it up, that's not their style. It's not going to feel like the 2017 run whenever you got to the second, third rounds and you knew the Blues and the Ducks, it was going to be a totally different series than the Blackhawks. And that played out that way, obviously. So I agree with you on that. So with that being said, then are you leaning toward Ham, Houston, Weber as the third D pairing first up? Or do you go with when the pause hit, the third D pairing that was out there on the ice, not just one game, but had been out there for a little bit in Tenorti and Holzer?
Well, I'm going to split it, actually. I think Hamus has the experience you need if you're the Predators, and I like what he brings. And Weber, of course, he's a puck-moving guy when necessary. But the goal of the third pairing, Darren, as we've said for, 2 years now, maybe more, the goal of the third pairing for the Predators is to not be a defensive liability. If the third pairing can go out there for 8 minutes a game or whatever the number is and not be a defensive liability, then they put themselves in the best position to win. And Holzer, I think, does that, and I think Hamus can do that. I did not like Tenorti's camp, I'll just be very honest. I thought he played great for his level, for sure, towards the end of the actual regular season before the pause. He came on, he scored a goal, he looked good in a couple other sequences. He's not a top four defenseman in the NHL by any means. But for what he was, he was serviceable. He was fine, and that's all you can really ask for. Again, for the third pairing, don't be a liability. But in camp, I just didn't like how he was moving. I didn't like some of the decisions he made. Again, there are drills and scrimmages. I get it, but that's all I have to work on. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not doing all the stuff with the team. I am seeing what the media is allowed to see in the sessions, and I just did not like Tenorti. So I would put Tenorti dead last on the depth chart for me. I like what Holzer brings. I think Weber has an offensive side to him, meaning even if he doesn't impact the score sheet, he can move the puck, he's light on his feet, that kind of thing. But I think Hamus and Holzer, I think, is the way to go, at least at first, and then you kind of see from there.
It's interesting because they really like Tenorti. There's no doubt about it. He played a lot.
And that's why I was watching him. Yep. That's why I was watching him. But every single time I did, most of the time I did, I just noticed things that I was like, well, that was questionable. Ooh, shouldn't do that. Oh, that was dangerous. Like putting pucks in. It's weird. So just my own personal call, okay. I put Snorty last.
All right. Last but certainly not least, let's end with who will be in between the pipes. Where do you think this is headed? John Hines, who's going to be in there game one?
All right, everybody. So I knew he was going to ask this, so I did some. I have some notes. I'll be very quick. Saros is 12-5-0 under Coach Hines, and Rene is 4-6-1 under Coach Hines. So and normally I would say, matter of fact, I think I was on SiriusXM a couple weeks ago, and I said my answer was, I think you start with Rene in game one with a short leash because he's earned the right to have that opportunity, but he has a short leash because Saros earned the right to be the starter when Hines took over. That was just very clear and evident to me. I will say, however, after watching a camp, I thought Saros was the stronger goaltender in camp from what I could see at camp. So I will put Saros as the starter of game one.
That is exactly, by the way, exactly how I viewed it. I really thought that Pekka would be his experience. 89 career postseason starts would probably get him the first crack at it and would get the nod for game one. But after watching camp, and the thing is, neither one of us know how much stock they put into camp.
Right.
We don't know how much stock they put into inter-squad scrimmage. But if you're sitting there watching it like I did, and when you were there watching it, My eyes told me it was pretty clear that Saros looked like he had a better camp. I mean, I don't really think there was any debate about that. Once again, don't know how much stock they're putting into that. It may be virtually none for all we know. But if you're just, you know, I thought that going into it, I thought, well, Pekka will probably get and deserve the first nod with all of his experience in postseason play. But coming away out of camp, I'm thinking, well, if they do put stock into him, because that's all you have after a 4-plus-month pause, is what you see out there on the ice in practice slash camp and slash scrimmages. To me, if that's all you have and they're going to weigh that a little bit or a lot, then to me, it's probably going to be 74. I've changed my mind, I guess. Since camp is what
yes,
I'm saying.
I've
it
changed,
sounds
I've
like you have
mine
to.
As well. Changed yeah. mine as well.
Jeremy, good stuff. Thanks for the visit, as always, and hope to talk to you soon.
Yep, hope we got a couple more months of this, Darren, before I walk away into the sunset, hopefully with some sort of banner raising come whenever the season starts.
That would be great. Anything new up on GameNashville.com or anything new coming?
Yes, coming. Tomorrow there will be – I'm doing three X-Factor stories. I was going to do one gigantic one, and as I was writing it, I was like, this is just stupid. So I'm going to do three. The first one will be out tomorrow. The next one will be out Wednesday. And then, of course, the final one will preview the game against the Dallas Stars, the exhibition game.
All right. Good stuff, Jeremy. Thanks as always.
Thanks, guys.
Jeremy K. Gover, good stuff from him. You just heard it. GameNashville.com tomorrow. Check it out. There's an interesting college football proposal we'll tell you about on the other side. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.